The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry with Joe McGill.
Good morning, how are you this morning? I'm Joe McGill and you're listening to the Saturday Supplement. And I hope I find you well wherever you are listening to us around the world on RadioKerry.ie, on the Radio Kerry app or on the traditional wireless 96 to 98 FM. Now we have a very busy program for you this morning. As always on the Saturday Supplement, we'll hear from Lily Kelleher from Lower Cannon in Tralee, who is 100 years of age. Born in Clahan on September 4th, 1925, Lily grew up working hard on the family farm. She later ran Kwan's Bar for 10 years for her cousin Mrs. Kwan. And it was here that she first met her beloved husband, Mikey. So that story is coming up very shortly. We'll also hear a short documentary produced by Ben McGailey called The You and I in Ishka, which is a story about Kerry and its affinity for water, how it shapes the county physically as well as socially. And we'll have two live from the past as well, where I go back to a particular time in history. And one is where we're going to go back to 1883, a time of forced immigration. And two ships came into Ivara, the Fornizia and the Belgravia. And a lot of people immigrated as a result. And we'll also remember, I was talking a lot about the Blaskets recently, that I was in the Heritage Centre there, the wonderful Heritage Centre. So I wanted to play you an episode of that, where we go live from the past from the evacuation of the Blaskets in 1953. November was in the same month as now. But first, I mentioned Lily Kelleher, and it was the thought came into my head to interview Lily as a result of speaking to her granddaughter, Niamh Daly, who is a former broadcast student of mine and no stranger here on Radio Kerry. And she told me about the great celebration they had at Lily's 100 and would I go and chat there. And I said I'd be delighted to. And I went to her house in Lower Cannon and the fire was on and it was lovely and cosy going in there. And also in attendance was Mary Wallace, her daughter, and her other daughter, Martina Dyro. So they were there as well. And Niamh popped in as well at the end of it. And we had some great crack. But I want you to listen to this. This is a life well lived. Lily is an amazing woman. She's a woman that has suffered a lot of tragedy in her life, but she is a woman with an absolutely amazing sense of humour and is great crack and is a straight shooter. I tell you, when they made Lily, they broke the mould. So sit back, relax and enjoy this. Now, I'm here in a certain part of Tralee and I'm here to meet Lily Kelleher, who celebrated a big milestone recently. And there's a letter here in front of me and I'm going to read it for you. And on the top, there's a very special and famous emblem. It's the Irish harp and it's from Uachtarán na hÉireann, President of Ireland, Miss Elizabeth Kelleher. Dear Mrs. Kelleher, it gives me great pleasure to join with your family and friends on this day, the 4th of September 2025, to wish you a most enjoyable and happy 100th birthday. Over the past century, you have witnessed so many events, great and small, and in that time, you've seen so much change in Ireland and around the world. Through your own life's adventures and all those whose lives you have touched, you have helped shape the society we now live in. Today is a time for joyful reminiscing and recalling those happy memories of the years that are behind you while enjoying the present and looking forward to the time that is to come. As President of Ireland, I am delighted to send you my warmest personal congratulations and most sincere good wishes on this wonderful day for you and your loved ones. Yours sincerely, Michael D. Higgins, Uachtarán na hÉireann.
Lovely.
Isn't it lovely?
But it's lovely, man.
Yeah.
They never make any get born like him again.
Do you think so?
Oh, no.
Was it a great honour to get that letter through the letterbox?
It was. Yeah. The best, I get my cheque.
Which was more important, do you think, the cheque or the letter?
The letter
was better. That's the right answer. I just wanted to check. We have a lovely warm fire here, and people at home can probably hear it. It'll be coming on now from time to time if people are wondering what that is. It's a lovely, cosy house you live in. Can we go back if we can?
Yeah.
Where were you born? Where did you grow up?
Ancient, but out in a farm.
So were you a farmer's daughter?
I was.
Yeah. What was that like?
Oh, it was hard.
Was it?
It was.
Yeah.
Farmers that time. I mean, farmers different now.
Mm-hmm.
They have everything and anything now. Milk and machines, they have everything.
Mm.
We had nothing like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because people mightn't realise that, you know, people growing up today, they have big machines, there's a machine for it, it's gone computerised even. So did you have to milk the cows, for instance?
They have. And there was tractors and everything. My father, nothing, only ploughs for ploughing. Yeah. And hard work. It was.
Did you have horses?
Pardon?
Did you have horses or donkeys?
We had. We had two horses.
Yeah.
Big horses. Uh-huh.
Where did you go to school?
I went to school in Blenville.
Did you like it?
I'd say I did anyway.
We'd be very careful, though. Even though I don't think any of them are around now.
Yeah. A different way in school. I was different.
Yeah.
For God's sake. It's killing that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's all I got now.
It is.
It is.
But that's it. Some people, like, remember their childhood very fondly, but times were tough back then.
Oh, God, they were tough.
Yeah.
They were tough. Uh-huh. I had to walk my poor mother had to work hard in the farm. Yeah. The farmer's wives now are doing nothing. They're all dressed up. Yeah.
I don't know about that, because I did a documentary called Women in Agriculture, and they're doing a lot more of the farming, and they're doing great, I think.
I don't know.
you're a woman that knows her mind, are you?
With their hands anyway.
Yeah.
Their mouths.
when you were growing up, like, you obviously, and I should say as well, I know your granddaughter, it is Niamh Daly. She was a student of mine, award-winning broadcaster now on Radio Kerry. I know you're very proud of her. But she said you were always kind of an advocate of hard work. Did you get that from your mother, do you think, or your father, or where did that come from?
From my mother, God help us.
Yeah.
They do everything. You know, they have to milk the cows and do everything. Help early in the morning, 7 o'clock. Yeah. And times were very poor that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What time are we talking? What year were you born? If we go back 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was 1925.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a different Ireland completely back then.
For God's sake, way different.
Mm.
Yeah, different Ireland. They'll come up a pile in the world now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're nearly as old as the Republic itself.
Huh?
You're nearly as old as the Republic itself.
I am.
So, and I'd say you could have been Queen of the Republic. I have that feeling as well. Tell me, do you remember World War II, the rations and all that? Have you any memories?
Oh, well, I did.
Tell us about it, for people that wouldn't know.
Get no tea or nothing. You know, and we had nothing to drink. We had no tea. Yeah. And flour. We were very scarce that time. Yeah. My son said to me, John, I said, I was in Castle Island with my friend who was next door. She was going over there for foodstuffs for the cattle.
Yeah.
And I went over, so I was only 9 years. And so I said, John, when we can go now anywhere, we have the money, and we hadn't at that time. My mummy said, we're on Castle Island.
Is that where your holidays were, in Castle Island?
Yeah, well, I did. I didn't live in Castle Island.
Mm,
yeah. Yeah. And they were very poor times that time.
Mm.
Yeah. We had no shoes and going to school. Like, we had them, but we would put them on us because the rest of the children had none of them.
Okay.
Yeah, but we'd have walked from Blenheim back to, from Clare back to Blenheim to school.
How far would that be for people that wouldn't know? Would it be a mile? 2 miles?
Well, more, would it, Mary? 2 miles, I'd say.
2 miles, yeah?
I'd say so.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Rain, hail or snow?
And we had our lunch and our bags and to different all together now. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Did you have to bring the sod of turf? Would you have turf around here?
We never had to bring it, but my husband had. Yeah. He was from Anna. And you just have to carry the sod of turf every day to school. That was awful.
Yeah. And I heard that sometimes they might borrow a turf off a reek on the way.
They do that too.
Yeah. We were only talking about this with a couple in Glenbey, Bart and Mary O'Riordan. They immigrated in the 50s to Chicago, and that's what they had to do. But they'd always try and bring the best sod of turf for the teacher or whatever
for
the fire. Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah. And I was doing some a few weeks ago. I was painting with ink. You know the old inkwells. Used to have that in the school. Is that how you'd write, or how would you write?
An inkwell and pen.
Yeah. I'd say you were very mannerly in class. You never got up to mischief.
No, I didn't. You couldn't, I'd say, because you'd be beat at it.
Would you?
Yeah. That's all gone now.
Yeah. And do you think it's a good thing it's gone?
Pardon?
It's a good thing it's gone.
It is a good thing it's gone.
Yeah.
They were beating children like animals.
Yeah. You mentioned your mother, and she obviously was a very influential figure in your life. And we were talking about the hard work and that she instilled hard work in you.
Yeah.
But you had a kind of a tragedy very young. Your father died young. Yeah, what age were you?
I was just 11.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My God.
And my mother was left with 7 of us then. There were 7 of us there. Oh. Yeah. And it was from that on then, so she had much from that on then. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so she continued the farm?
She had to. She had nothing else. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the rest of you then had to grow up quick, I'd imagine, and help out.
My brothers, they were all young. We were all young when my father died. Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. She must have been some woman, though, because my grandmother now, her husband died, and he was early 50s.
Yeah.
But she and her father died when she was very young as well, and she used to do the farming. She had to kind of step up and do a lot of it,
Yeah.
So they were tough women, yeah.
It was tough. Mm-hmm. Making cows and feeding calves and all that, and go to the creamery as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's all hard times.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Where used you go to the market? Where was the fair day here?
The big one, I said, was before Christmas.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Selling up the turkeys and everything. Yeah.
Would you have a turkey for Christmas?
We would.
Would you?
Of course.
Would you kill it yourselves?
Oh, go away. My mother would do it. Don't ask me to do it anyway.
I thought you'd be well able to kill a turkey.
Oh, no. No. I wouldn't kill a chicken.
Yeah.
No.
And we're coming up to Christmas now. What was Christmas like when you were a child?
God Almighty, it was a different Christmas.
Yeah. How so?
You know, when my mother got it down, and she carried a big, big box for the messages, and we'd be just waiting for her to come. Yeah, and we'd be delighted. But there's Christmas every day, you know?
Yeah. But what would you get, what would be the present? Bit of chocolate?
Chocolate. And a doll. I got a small doll. A gelatine doll, and he was elastic, and his hands and legs were all together, and I pulled him. Next thing, the whole lot went around the house. Legs, hands, everything.
It was a massacre.
And I cried, not in my hands. Yeah. Yeah.
And you were just a child?
The children of everything, you know.
Oh, Jesus.
For God's sake, we'll go away.
But you valued that. Yeah, you valued anything you got.
Delighted to get it.
Yeah.
Delighted to get it. Mm.
Would you get anything from America, the parcel home at Christmas or anything like that?
We used from England.
England, yeah.
Yeah. With cousins there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bit like we had the old tea and the parcels out and nobody gets something nice inside them.
That's a happy memory, isn't it?
They were happy memories. They were. Mm-hmm. They're all different now, right?
Yeah.
There's too much to have now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Lily Kelleher there. We're going to hear more from Lily after the break.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shop and Seafood Bar, the Mall Tralee. Treat yourself to the freshest takeaway fish and chips today, right in the heart of Tralee.
Now, I hope you're enjoying the programme. We're listening to an interview with Lily Kelleher, 100 years of age from Tralee. And I visited her in her house in Lower Cannon. And I spoke to Lily about what was her first job outside of the farm.
Bartending.
And what bar was that then?
Blenheimville, Mrs. Quan's. Quan's Bar in Blenheimville. She was my aunt.
Okay.
And her husband died and left her with three children, three babies, and I to do the building for her. Yeah. I was there until I left to get married. But I was there for... I was there from once I was 17, 18, until I was 28.
And was it common for a woman to be working behind the bar at that time?
I don't know. I did anyway.
Yeah. It didn't matter to you. But outside the bar, I'd say there weren't a lot of women probably drinking. It was probably all men, was it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But not as many as an always there.
Yeah, yeah.
No, no.
And
the ones I'll drink and I will never drink.
Yeah, the beer, like, I'd be familiar. I have a brewery, so I've talked to people about that. Would you have to cap beer and fill it yourselves, or how did that work? Would you get kegs in now like they do today and put it onto a tap? Yeah. How did it work?
Kegs in.
Yeah.
And then you get a tap.
Yeah.
For tapping the barrel.
Yeah.
You know, it was this thing. And you push it in with this hammer. This,
you bang it in.
Yeah. And if you didn't do it right, the whole barrel was gone around the place.
Did you ever do that?
You couldn't stop it.
Yeah.
Gas.
Did you ever do that?
I had to do all the time.
But you never made a mistake?
No, I didn't, thank God. I'd be terrified of my life.
You might end up around the Blenheimville,
remember? Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they're different now, like, behind the bar. Yeah, my cousin, Johnny Kwan, have a bar above there, no? And he just pulled up and put in the... open it.
Yeah.
Different kegs now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that Tom has the bar now.
Tom has the bar now.
Yeah, that's where you celebrated your 100th, was it?
Wasn't it? Oh, he's done a beautiful job at it.
Yeah,
beautiful by him now. He was he's a great man.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. He'd have to give you a few pound there for advertising that.
He might. I say he won't.
You'll have to invoice him. And bars were busy back then, weren't they?
Whatever. Mm. Yeah, and drink was cheap.
Mm.
I sold it there for 9 pence a pint.
9 pence?
Yeah, and 10 pence a pint.
That's how much a pint was?
Yeah, a pint was.
Oh.
And then they said, oh, we go up now to the half crown, we won't go any further. So they're drinking away, Matt.
And what were the pints then? Was it Guinness and what would people drink?
Guinness and beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a completely different time when you think 9 pence a pint.
What?
Mm-hmm. What would the women drink then? Was there Blue Nun then, back then?
What?
What was the drink the women would drink?
How do I know? I knew any of it.
Did you ever drink?
No, I never drank in my life. It's a fright.
It's not a fright, yeah. And you inside the bar?
I never drank. Yeah. No.
Why not?
I didn't bother with it.
Yeah.
That's all.
I don't think you need it.
I want a whiskey up and on.
And is that the secret, you think, to long life?
Oh, I don't know.
So you got married then. Where did you meet your husband?
The bear.
The bear? Yeah. The same bear?
Yeah. Blenheimville bear.
And was he a charmer or what way was he? You were inside the bar, he was outside the bar?
Yeah. He was throwing eyes at me.
He was so what? Throwing eyes at you?
You were lying, mate.
I'd say that wasn't the first time, though, was it?
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. And you struck up a romance?
We did, yeah. For how many years? I don't know how long ago. We were friends. I came over.
What was the dating scene like back then? Where would you go? Would you go to a dance, cinema? What was it?
We were, there was a dance in Blenheim. At a beautiful dance, a dance hall for fourpence. Fourpence a window.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the price of about 5 pints, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We'd go to most dances, and well, my aunt would keep the bar open for a long time.
Okay.
You know, at late, at eve, she could.
Yeah.
So I was there then, I couldn't go. Some nights.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did he hang around?
I was on my own.
Oh, so
I'm better off.
You are better off, yeah. So where did you get married?
In St. John's.
St. John's, all right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what was your husband's name?
Michael.
Michael.
Yeah.
And where would you do a honeymoon then? Would you go?
We only went to Killarney anyway, you know, whether the honeymoon or not.
So that was probably a big outing back then, was it?
It was, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing how honeymoons, say, in Ireland have evolved when you think of, like, I know my parents went around Ireland, I think, was, and most people now go abroad, don't they?
Well, they do.
Yeah. Did you have a reception?
Huh?
Did you have a reception or was it a wedding breakfast or what did you have?
A wedding breakfast, but there was port there, plenty of drink there after.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They had outside in the front, they had a barrel of porter, and they tapped it and all, and they were drinking away there then.
It was a free-for-all.
Free-for-all.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you remember your wedding dress?
I did.
Yeah.
I might have wore a suit.
Okay.
Yeah. You see my wedding there. Yeah.
Oh, you'll get a photo of it for me. Brilliant.
Weren't I lovely, dear?
Jeez, you were, and we're looking at your wedding photo now. You were absolutely stunning from head to toe.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Where did you get that outfit?
Stole it.
Stole it. Who did you steal it off?
suit was made now.
Was it? Special?
Uh-huh.
That cost a few pounds, I'd say.
Yeah.
Where did you get it made? Was it someone you knew?
Yeah. Who was that? They were books.
Okay.
They were tailors.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I got that made from them now. Yeah.
And did you get wear out of it after?
I did. Maybe so. I had to. I not else.
It's a beautiful photo. So we're looking here. There's your husband in his suit. And you're holding hands. Did he often hold hands like that? Or is that just for the photo?
That we didn't. <Got finished>. And yeah, it's went after that.
Lily Kelleher there. We're going to hear more from Lily after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's The Mad Monk in Killarney. Serving the finest seafood in a cosy modern atmosphere. Book your special experience today at seafoodbar.ie.
Everybody has the right to be heard. If a person has a challenge with communication or decision making, there are many ways to enable their voice, such as meeting in person, using assistive technology, or together with their appointed decision supporter.
Respecting rights is a responsibility of all services, and it's the law.
My voice is my right. Assistive decision-making law means I decide.
SafeguardingDay.ie from Safeguarding Ireland and the HSE.
There's a well-known expression that goes, "The answer lies within." Well, it certainly applies to your local community pharmacy. Pharmacists are medicines experts and can offer you personalised advice about your healthcare needs and support you to take your medicines in the safest, most effective way. Whatever your medicines queries, consult with your pharmacist and get advice you know you can trust. Your local community pharmacy. The answer lies within. Brought to you by the Irish Pharmacy Union.
It's the biggest furniture event of the year. McGilligan's Black November Sale. Upgrade your living room with luxurious sofas. The perfect blend of style and comfort while also saving big. With a wide range of colours and designs to create your perfect home. Don't miss the incredible Black November Sale. Now on at McGilligan's Castle Island and Killarney. Hurry, these deals won't last long.
Us pigeons see everything when we're flapping around up here.
Well, almost everything.
See, burning certain fuels releases invisible toxic pollutants, which can trigger asthma and lead to serious illness. So if you're going to light a fire in your home, make sure to use low smoke fuel. Oh, and never wing at burning rubbish.
Choosing low smoke fuel is better for all of us. Let's clear the air for everyone. And remember to clean chimneys and heating appliances at least once a year. Brought to you by the Government of Ireland.
Better hearing is better together. At Audiology Medical Services, we're offering microsuction earwax removal for just €100 for two people. Normally, €70 each. And that's not all. Your visit includes a free adult hearing test. Bring someone you care about and share the gift of better hearing today. But hurry, this offer won't last forever. Free phone 1-800-501-501 to book at our Tralee or Killarney clinics. Audiology Medical Services, giving you back the gift of hearing.
The Irish Times says the hybrid Dacia Bigster might just be Ireland's best car right now. That's a big review. Well, it is a big family car with big space, big tech, a big boot and big hybrid power. Get more for less from just €29,990. Visit your local Dacia dealer to find out more. Dacia, drive more for less. Price excludes delivery and related charges. T's and C's apply. Offers are limited. See Dacia.ie.
You're listening to the Saturday Supplement with Joe McGill on Radio Kerry.
You're listening to an interview I did with 100-year-old Lily Kelleher, and I asked her to describe her beloved husband, Mikey. Your husband was a bit different to you, was he?
He was.
He was quieter, was he?
Oh, he was. He was quieter than me. Yeah. He was. He was a lovely man, you know.
Yeah.
Kind.
Yeah.
Kind. He came in for a walk one evening. He was all wet. And he walked in DSB. And I said, "You're drenched." And he said, "I'm all right." I said, "Once you're all right, I'm all right."
I'll go away. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
You've picked it.
And I said, "That's
you. Once you're happy, I'm happy.
Once you're happy, I'm happy."
Jeez, you picked a good one there.
Huh?
You picked a good one there.
Did, oh, God, he was a lovely... Wasn't he my father?
A nice
gentleman.
Yeah.
Oh, a gentleman. Mm-hmm.
That just sums him up, that sentence, doesn't it? It really sums up someone.
That's do now.
Yeah.
Yes, we said now.
Yeah.
Once you're happy, I'm happier. Yeah.
And what would you say back to him? Shut up, you're all wet.
I love you, my darling.
You'd say, "I love you, my darling." Would you?
Not at all.
I believed you there for a second. You'd say, "Take off those wet clothes, they're destroying the floor," is it?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Where did he work in the ESP? Was he on the lines or where was he?
Yeah, the lines, yeah.
Oh, very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of people that work in the ESP, they have great friends out of it, you know. A lot of people that worked in the ESP, they have great friends out of it.
Oh, yeah. But he was always, he was a lovely man. Everyone was mad about him.
Yeah.
Even Dr. Daly, he said he was the nicest man he ever met in his life.
Mm.
And I said, "How do you get to know him?" And he said, "When I became a doctor first," he said, "I went back to the White Wall for a walk in the morning, and your husband, you'd be sitting up there, sitting down." And I said, "Good morning," to him. And he said, "Good morning, doctor." And he said, "I thought I was 6 foot tall," when he said that to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, lovely. Mm-hmm. What did he do for a pastime? Was it just work, or had he any interests?
Oh, he was great for playing cards and all to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a great footballer. Yeah, it was all football.
Oh, so St. Pat's here in Blenheville, he would have been, yeah. He was president. Oh,
he was president of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brendan O'Shea from down my way used to play with St. Pat's, a great footballer, Lord rest him, but there was always that connection. So your husband then, he was quieter, but he had a brother, Nadine, is it?
Nadine.
Yeah, and he knew the Dubliners and Brendan Grace, did he?
They were always above the house.
Yeah. He got to know them because he was a Jarvie, is it?
Yeah. And they were always above Nan's house. All them now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drinking tea, and she always had a big pot of soup up in the range.
Yeah.
And they'd be sticking their mugs into it and they're drinking it.
they were quite at their top then. They were famous. Yeah.
They were beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful singers.
Yeah. They were nice men, were they?
They were. Yeah. And Red Hurley was a lovely singer.
Oh, you knew Red Hurley as well?
Red Hurley used to come to Bob and Nance. He used. Yes. He was come there. And all of them, Ronnie Drew, they were characters.
Yeah.
They're none like them there now.
No, and they were very talented, yeah. Did they shoulder Nadine's coffin, is it? Or?
They did.
Yeah.
And the man just, they walked in the care, the boss and the carry man, and he was to go off to see Nadine that night, and Nadine died that night. And the day of the funeral, Elena, that man opened the heap of whiskey like that and threw it into the coffin.
Oh,
and said, what you doing that for? He said, I was carried off to Nadine, he said, that night and I couldn't go and he died. So here it goes now, it said. Wasn't it nice of him?
Yeah, very nice. Did they come to your 50th, or am I imagining that?
Ronnie Drew
came to your 50th anniversary?
He did.
So you were married 57 years?
I was.
Yeah. And you had a big, did you have a big golden jubilee?
Well?
Did you have a big golden jubilee?
Oh, a grand hotel.
Grand hotel, yeah. Lovely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what's the secret to a long and happy marriage?
I don't know, hard work.
Hard work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I do.
Yeah.
For my aunt, the pub, and for my Warwick home.
Yeah. But your own marriage, 50 years, is it because he was so quiet that he just...
He was so quiet.
Yeah.
I was the baddie.
But it sounds like he was very easy to get on with when you described him there.
He was a lovely man.
Yeah.
Oh, he was. Uh-huh. God, do you know that?
Yeah.
Yes.
And you remind him as well, I'd imagine.
I do. We wouldn't have to.
Yeah.
She was all mad about her father. And me, I was there as well.
Yeah. It's lovely. It's just lovely to hear that. I think it is.
And I would say to him, if a man's passed down, Quan's door, I go to see the man come in, for God's sake. If that last amount will be fine. You make it sure. I run out the door and see man.
Yeah.
It's my pal.
Yeah.
And it's true for him.
Yeah.
They won't put up with nothing. No.
Yeah.
We had to put up with everything.
Yeah.
That was for us.
Yeah.
But they don't do it now at all. They'll walk off and let you there.
Yeah. You've seen a lot of changes around Tralee, I'd imagine, over the years.
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't go in that hall now because I'm already able to walk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was a great town, you know, very vibrant.
What was a great town?
Mm.
You get everything there, right? And the day of selling the turkeys was a great day.
Yeah.
The 8th of December. And that time you come. All the turkeys raise them to the co-ops.
Okay.
And they take them in there for you. And they pay, they weigh them and everything, and they pay you money then.
Okay.
Yeah.
You'd spin mad then.
That was the night you'd have it.
Yeah.
So
that was the 8th of December, is it the 9th? Or the 8th of December. Because that's kind of...
That was a great day.
Yeah, around the county, that's kind of a traditional shopping day, wasn't it, as well?
It was an awful shopping day.
Yeah.
That's when they had a few bob after selling the turkeys.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I ever was described that way. That's very interesting. Yeah, and you have a few more stories about the turkey. You used to dress them up, used you? Or Nadine used to dress them up. Your brother-in-law, yeah. What used he do?
It was lipstick on them.
Lipstick?
Yeah.
On the turkey?
Yeah, because if they were old, you know then that they were old, but they were like young ones then.
Where would they put the lipstick, if I'd be asking? Where on the turkey?
I couldn't tell. I never thought to.
You've another story to tell me about the turkey. Tell us about the story about the turkey and the woman asking how old the turkey was.
Well, and Nadine said, horses, what you might ask her for anywhere. And I don't know, ma'am, he said, it's the first day in town.
Nadine was a character, it sounds like.
Oh, you are a complete character.
Yeah.
Complete character. Mm-hmm.
It's amazing the way brothers can be so different, isn't it?
And his brother then was like a child. Yeah. And you'd be making the sword the way he was carrying on.
Yeah. You loved the pushbike or the bike, used to. You used to get around. Is that how your mode of transport?
What was?
Yeah.
A bicycle.
Yeah. And would you travel far in it?
Well, my sister went one day. She was home from England. We went to Killarney. We sighted Killarney.
That's a good old trek to Killarney.
Was?
For a day out.
For a day out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we went to Motherwell as well. Park Fair. Yeah. We cycled there. And we went upstairs to get ready. And this old man, farmer, came up. And the woman, I suppose, she was keeping bed and breakfast. And she had the most beautiful white spread on the bed. And next thing he went in, flopped himself into it. And the dirt was. So I ran out of the room anyway. So then I might not make sure I go in. Over to the bed, a woman, he just was there on the fair all day.
Oh, jeez. He was enjoying himself too much, yeah. He was a bit tired.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, Lily Kelleher there. We'll take a break. We'll have more after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars located across the county. Serving the freshest seafood to Kerry families since 1963.
Enjoy the best.
You're listening to an interview I did recently with Lily Kelleher, 100 years of age. And she had five kids, and raising five children had its challenges, as Lily explains here. Raising all your kids, it was a lot of work, I'd imagine. So you'd try and get a break from time to time, would you?
And we didn't enough for money, was worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where would you go to get a break for a while? To your mother-in-law, is it?
Yeah.
And you had a famous saying you used to say. What was that?
Take these chains from my heart and set me free.
And would you feel better when you came back then? After
I would. Yeah. He put all of them to bed, like.
Yeah, geez.
I had five of them.
Yeah. So he was hands-on, which was rare enough.
It was.
But your husband was hands-on, yeah.
Oh, God, he was a very quiet man. Mm. I was after buying four chairs, and they about to come out the front, but they had a car, and they were going to him. They screw up all the back of the chairs. And the woman next door, she said, they're around the house all around the dealership. The chairs that would be destroyed. He left them out with him.
Your husband
got,
did, is it?
He got them for me. She didn't get my men today. He was looking.
So your husband was obviously softer on
he
the
was,
kids.
Oh, God, yes. On my, they yeah. could do anything.
Go ahead.
Anything I tell you, I could do.
Yeah. But it was a different story with you, I'd say.
A different story with me.
It wouldn't be doing anything.
No. Yeah.
You're famous for your brown bread. Do you make homemade brown bread?
I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And where did you pick that skill up from?
My sister's.
Yeah. And did your mother do it? Like, was it handed down?
My mother was always baking. Yeah. We never bought the shop bread.
Yeah.
We know what that was. It was all brown bread and white bread and all bacon that time.
Yeah.
We never bought a pan loaf from the town. It's all pan loaf now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you handed on that recipe? Have you handed on the recipe for the brown bread?
They can make it.
They can make it?
They don't make it now, though.
Because my grandmother now would have taught my mother, and my mother showed me how to make the homemade bread, because it's lovely.
Oh,
and it's so good for you.
Oh, it is. Mm. Mm-hmm. We buy it in town now.
Do you? Yeah.
But that's the same like it all.
No.
As a homemade cake.
Yeah.
You bake yourself.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. what you're used to, isn't it? And what else would you bake?
Apple tarts.
Yeah.
Beautiful apple tarts.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I was grateful for that.
And cornbread.
At Christmas, remember?
And cornbread.
Cornbread. Matty's still looking for the cornbread I was making. Oh, Mom. We can't make it all now. Yeah.
They're still asking for it. Wouldn't they say they'd give you a break now at 100?
They'd have a long wait.
Ha, 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 ha. Niamh was telling me, she said a few words at your 100th, yeah. And it seems like you're such a close family.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, it's obvious that you mean so much to your kids and their kids, yeah, and the wider, yeah, circle. But they mean a lot to you as well, I'd say, do they?
Well, they are.
Yeah.
Well, they're always coming here, like.
Yeah.
They're like my own. Mm. Yeah. And their mother died.
Yes.
And I kind of reared them.
Yeah.
That's how they're so close, coming out here. So,
You've had a lot of tragedy, haven't you, over the years, from when you were born all the way, kind of thing.
Oh, God almighty.
Yeah.
If I just had no other tragedies we had now.
Yeah.
Wicked.
Yeah.
My sister of mine died at 21, out in the garden. She hanging up clothes.
Whoa.
21.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Uh-huh. And my brother, beautiful boy, 25 years. Oh, he was gorgeous. He got killed off a motorbike.
My God.
Uh-huh. We couldn't tell my mother for 2 days. Uh-huh. So the priest said to come up to tell her. We sent down for Father Moriarty. And he came up to tell her that he was dead.
Yeah.
She said he was home in the hospital with 2 broken legs. We told her.
Yeah.
And we couldn't tell her. And the neighbour next door said, send down for the priest. So he came up to her and he calmed her down.
Yes.
She's above in heaven. There's a gold chair there waiting for her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, did she get tragedies.
Yeah.
One after the other.
Yeah.
She'd no bed of roses anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And was she religious? Like, would she be praying?
She was. She was a great woman.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I think of her solace, then, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
But yourself as well, you've had unbelievable tragedy.
Patrick went out with the jury and Sullivan. There's a shop in the Rock.
Mm.
And he came up for jury and took him away.
Patrick.
And they were having the motorbike, and they were coming up early morning. And jury said he's off for pole. And my brother was pillion riding, and he was flung down to ground.
And you remember that like it was yesterday, I'd imagine, do you?
Oh, I do. Yeah. Jesus. I had done all myself then. I was young.
Yeah.
There was no one to do anything for me. Yeah. And
and you'd no father that time, yeah?
No.
Yeah.
And I had to go off to the hospital that morning, and the nurse wouldn't let me see him. They said, oh, no, we can't see your brother now. Later on, yeah, he was destroyed.
Oh my God, yeah.
Beautiful boy.
Yeah.
And my mother said, who was at the door? 2 men came to the door the night before, that night, and they thought, I said, my brother got up. And I said, what's wrong? And he said, your brother is over in the hospital. He said, he got killed.
My God.
And I went up there with my mother. She said, what brought him? And I said, Patrick is in hospital. He broke his leg. And she was full sure that's what was wrong with him.
Jesus.
And
that was a lot on you.
Oh, I had to go.
Yeah.
I was young that time. And I had to go up to the hospital and to see him. And then none wouldn't let me in. They said, oh, no, you can't see your brother now.
Yeah.
But take home his clothes. And they gave me a clothes, and they were matted in blood. He bought overalls the night before he was going working.
Right.
And he was inside in Revington's. He bought them. And I went in the morning to change the grease for a habit. And when I went in, the man said, what are you talking about? He said, that's not the boy that was there last night. I said, tis. He and the man nearly died. He went around Reverend's and told everyone what was after happening.
Oh,
he got killed that night. Mm-hmm.
So you never know, do you?
No. Or the motorbicycles.
Yeah.
And my nephew then bought a motorbicycle, same age. The same age, and I said to him, don't buy a motorbike, buy a car. And no, he didn't. And he fell off of it, and he's brain damaged. Mm-hmm.
How do you find the strength in your life? Like, you know, you've gone through loads.
I often say to myself, how did I go through what I went through? And I young, I was 17.
Yeah. But even all the way through your life, you've had loads of tragedy. We won't go into all of it now because it's just unbelievable to think. So what do you think has brought you through all that, through your life?
I was prayer.
Yeah.
Prayer. I was praying to St. Martin. He would just have to come into the church.
Yeah.
And my mother was looking for something.
So the statue was after coming in, not St. Martin himself, yeah.
And she said to me, whenever you were praying for Lucy, I was praying for hardly what she wanted, because I never get what I want. I kept praying, and she got it. And my mother hadn't nothing that time to bury him. And I was praying for she get money. And one day, she met Jerry Sullivan in the street, and he gave her a couple of £100.
Who was this Jerry Sullivan?
He was on the bike with
him. Okay, I'm with you.
He was on the bicycle with him.
Yeah. Jesus, lads. So you obviously pray to this day, do you? Your faith is very important to you.
I pray it all the time.
Yeah. And are you able to go to Mass, or do you get it streamed in? Radio Kerry?
Radio Kerry, now he gets it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Lily Kelleher there. And we're going to take a break for the news at 10. And we're going to be hearing the final part of that interview I did with Lily Kelleher after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by the new family fish box at Quinlan's Seafood Bars. Packed with golden fish goujons, fresh squid, delicious prawns and tasty homemade chips. Order yours to take away today.
The Saturday Supplement with Joe McGill on Radio Kerry.
We're into the second hour of the Saturday Supplement. Later on, we're going to hear a documentary from Ben McGailey called The You and I in Ishka. It's a story about Kerry and its affinity for water, how it shapes the county physically as well as socially. And we're also going to be going live to the past to 1883, where two ships, the Farnese and Belgravia, came into Valentia Harbour and took a human cargo of 1,200 people from the Iveragh Peninsula to America. And we're also going live to the past to November 17, 1953, where the evacuation of the Great Blasket was taking place. But we heard in the first hour about Brendan Grace and how he knew Lily's brother-in-law, Nadine. And here is Brendan Grace in character as Father Fintan Stack. And he met Lily on the streets of Tralee. Have a listen to this.
The video is on now. This is Father Fintan Stack. And I'd like to tell you all that I'm leaving the priesthood because I met the girl of my dreams. Lily, I didn't recognize you with your clothes on. You dirty faker.
Can you have a photo of me, Anna?
Come on, Lily. Lily the Pink.
Lily the Pink.
That's Brendan Grace there talking to the famous Lily Keller, who I had the joy of having her company and interviewing her recently. And we're going to listen to the final part of that interview now. And Lily herself is a big fan of Radio Kerry. Would you listen to Radio Kerry a lot?
I do.
Yeah.
I listen to Radio Kerry a lot. Need to be honest sometimes.
Yeah, your granddaughter.
A desperate ruffin.
A desperate ruffin. I haven't heard ruffin since I was a child doing something bad. I'd often hear that, get out of there, you ruffin, from my uncle or something. Yeah. Do you like listening to Billy Donegan?
Yeah. I listen to that now.
Oh, yeah. Tim and Ambrose, because you're mad into football. I heard you wanted Kerry to win another All-Ireland there, and they did it for you.
I did. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it must be like you listen to radio all the time, and to hear your granddaughter then on the airwaves, that must fill you with pride, does it?
Yes, I love that.
Yeah.
To hear her there.
Yeah.
When you have to tell her nothing, she know it all.
She know it all. Well, she was a student of mine. And,
Yeah.
And I have to say, she was a great student. I think she'll go places. Well, that's what I have to tell you on air anyway, you know, while we're being recorded.
Huh?
That's what I have to tell you while we're being recorded anyway. But no, she's very talented and she's won an award. She won a national award.
She would.
Yeah.
And she'd do anything.
Yeah.
she chants anything and she do anything.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Isn't that a great thing?
She's all Jessica and she is now.
Yeah.
She get anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you keep an eye on all your grandkids and what they're at and how they're getting on?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
You have your hands full.
I have my hands full.
The other, but the other thing that you were famous for, we were saying your baking, but your Sunday roasts as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, they also had meadows and Sunday roasts.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And is that more...
At Christmas, I was at two tables.
Really?
One there and one there. Wasn't that?
Yeah.
And 13 for dinner.
And you take them all on?
Yeah. I would, all on. My sister and my daughter died, Noreen. She was coming at 8 o'clock in the morning, Christmas morning. And she bringing her brood with her and her husband. And I'd have all them for dinner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was loving it. I have no one now.
Yeah. You have a fine gang around you here. I know what you're talking about.
You go up to their houses now.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
Christmas.
Yeah.
When I was with them, do it myself.
Yeah.
That time.
But isn't that Christmas, it evolves over the years, doesn't it? It changes all the time, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's the whole time.
Yeah, it's all a different chapter.
Tastes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when you did the Sunday roast and the Christmas dinner, was it the cooking of the dinner or having the people around? Which did you enjoy more? Having your family around, I'd imagine.
Have the family around, wouldn't they? I'll be there. Yeah. And they'd be there all day until night.
Yeah.
Evening. Yeah. You'll be lonesome when it was over.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We mentioned Radio Kerry, but you watch a bit of television as well. And I can imagine there was no television back in your day. I probably can imagine. But you're a big fan of Judge Judy, are you?
They've been told about her.
They have, yeah. No, I did my research. She told me.
Did she tell you? I love watching her.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Does she remind you of yourself?
Huh?
Does she remind you of yourself?
I know she was bald anyway. Oh, geez, she's great. I love her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She takes no messing.
She don't take no messing.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Nah, you're a bum. She was there to the boy, and he said, I'm not. You're a double bum. Yeah.
And so if you had to go into court, and I'd say, no, at this stage, hopefully not, you won't be up in court. But if you were, I'd say, would you like if she was the judge there sitting in front of you?
She'd be happy behind bars.
I think Niamh was telling me that you said she's the only one you'd allow to judge you.
Yes.
Huh? She's the only one you'd allow to judge you. Oh, it's Judge Judy.
Yeah. Judge Judy.
Yeah.
Oh, God bless us. I love it. And Michael wants other channels, like.
Yeah.
He wants soccer.
Yeah. That's your son, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I said, no, Michael, you can watch that match now, but I did mine over the rest of the day. Yeah.
And what age is Michael? We're not talking about a teenager here, like. Huh? We're not talking about a teenager here.
not a teenager, no, anyway.
I'd say you'd still put him across your knee, I'd say, if he stepped out of place.
Yeah.
I asked you this at the start. Would you consider yourself a townie or a country woman? It sounds like you're a country woman to me.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm your townie.
Yeah.
Not at all. I'm a country woman, a country buffer. Yeah.
Country buffer, what does that mean?
I don't know what it means. A country buff.
A buff.
Yeah, I came from the country.
Yeah.
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 Before I finish up, do you want to say hello to anyone?
Hello, those and my grandkids. I love them. Yeah. They all come to me. Oh, God Almighty. I have three great-grandchildren.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, my God Almighty. You have no idea what they can do for me. Intimately, in any...
Oh, it's the three girls, yeah.
The three girls.
In what way? They breed new life into you, do they?
Yeah, no. They do everything for me.
Oh, right.
And bring me everything.
Really?
And they're ringing me and every whole thing. I'm like their mother to them.
Whoa.
Their mother died, like, and
yeah,
I...
Yeah. Yeah. This is Niamh's family, no, you're talking...
Yeah,
or your grandkids,
yeah.
They're
lovely.
Yeah. But I suppose they owe you a lot as well, so it's about time you got a bit of payback.
It is, that too. It is. Yeah.
Now,
I suppose the downside of living so long till 100 is that, you know, the people you were growing up with and your friends, there wouldn't be many of them around left. Yeah, but you still have a few, like you've Mrs. Kwan. Oh, that would have been the daughter, Mary, of the place of the Kwans you worked in.
She owns, she's 88 now, Mary.
Well, she's only a young one, so.
She's only a teenager. She's my best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And what would you do? Just hang out, have a chat about all times, or what would you do?
She comes down Tuesdays and Thursdays here.
Really?
She do, yeah. I live up in the cottages in Burnville.
And would she have the gossip, or would you have the gossip?
Well, she'd have more than me, because I was sitting down here.
So she'd be reporting back to you?
She do. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Isn't that lovely that you can still be in your own house, though, at this age, you know? It's great.
Well, she is. Mm. And I'm well-minded. I'm Michael there, and there's only one Michael, as Mary Kwan said. He's the best boy. I'd go out quicker than anyone.
Mm-hmm. He looks after you.
Oh, Jesus. Everything and anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That'll mean a lot to Michael to hear that, I think.
Oh, it would. Yeah. He's, when I go to bed, like, Mama, I'm all right now.
Really?
And many sums once said him things, too.
No. So he takes after his father a bit, I'd imagine?
He do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he do. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Except when it comes to the television, he'd want to...
He wants his own part of it.
And then you've a brother-in-law, Donal.
Yeah,
he's 96, is it?
Huh?
He's 96.
He is. He was alive with you recently.
Donal Kelleher and Niamh, I think, interviewed him on the radio. Yeah.
He
calls here all the time as well. He's 96 years of age.
He's going for 97 now.
Jeez.
He is.
Is there something in the water around Lougher Cannon?
I often say that myself. Yeah, yeah. And he'd jump in and out that door there for you.
Go away.
I said to Michael, watch Dawn going out. So he's outside in the air before Michael sees him. He is.
Do you know what strikes me? We were saying the secret to a long life is you've a great sense of humour. Is that important to you? To have a laugh?
Tis. Yeah. What's the point being crying the whole time to get you nowhere?
Yeah.
No. So... I stayed like that anyway. It might keep me longer alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And tell me, every year that goes by, do you get another few pounds from the president, or what way does that work?
Well, not at all.
You want to get it once off?
I get once off. A medal.
Oh, you're going to get a medal for every year after?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that'd be a big thing to get, yeah.
12.
Yeah.
God, he was a lovely man.
Yeah. Tell me the 100th birthday party. It reverberated around the county. I heard there was a big celebration. You went back to your old workplace.
I did.
What was that like returning there?
I was behind the bar, by the way, serving.
Oh, good.
I had an empty glass in my hand, that's all I could do. Yeah.
I'd say you'd be able to manage it all right.
Huh?
I'd say you would have been able to manage it all right.
Yeah, different now. But they brought the Sam McGuire to me.
Oh, really? For your birthday party?
I did.
Oh, wow.
I had it in my hand. Mm-hmm.
Jeez, that was a great celebration, wasn't it? So James Costlow, the Kerry selector from your club, St. Pat's.
Yeah.
See, he brought the cup.
He did.
That was nice of him.
Oh, it was lovely.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The Kerry team, in your 100th year, they honoured you by winning the All-Ireland for you. So, what was that like?
It was delighted.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't watch it all. I can't watch it. For the first half. And if they're beaten, I won't be beaten. I have to run down the room.
And what are you saying? The rosary or something below?
Yes.
Praying for them.
Praying for them.
I said, because Michael said to me, Mom, don't move now, because they're going to win it. I know. Like, and I stayed for the whole lot. And, I was delighted when they won. Oh!
You were glad you stayed?
I was glad I stayed.
Yeah.
The other team are useless.
But do you think now, in all your years experience of watching the Kerry team, that you'd be able to watch the full match? You get that excited still to this day?
Yeah. I can.
Yeah.
I can. And I could drop in the middle of it.
We wouldn't want that in their concerts at all. And you'd be watching on the telly. Would you listen to the radio as well?
Yes.
I would.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To Tim and Ambrose.
Oh, they're the best, Tim and Ambrose. Oh,
they're great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the what's the two fellas over there?
The Cliffords.
Yeah. They're great.
David and Paddy.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Are they, there's often talk now, you'll be well placed to answer this, about David being the best Kerry footballer of all time. In all your years of watching football, where would you say he is, or who would be the greatest footballer you've ever seen?
Mick O'Connell.
Yeah.
He was my husband's idol.
Really?
And he was coming to boat himself.
Oh, yeah?
Drive the boat himself.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and come in.
He used to row it.
Row it himself.
Yeah.
And he was to go home again then.
Yeah.
He forgot the cup one time.
He did? Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was back in Valencia Island before they knew it.
He was.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, he was a great footballer.
And David Clifford now is probably the new Mick O'Connell, you'd say.
He is.
Yeah.
He's a great footballer now.
Yeah, yeah.
He is. Mm-hmm.
He's brilliant. And they're good ambassadors for the county as well, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth, or Lily, you prefer, I know, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Lily, it was an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Yeah,
I think
you're
a tower of strength.
Yeah.
What you've had to endure in your life and how you've overcome it, and the wonderful family you've raised.
Yeah.
And I think that goes back to your mother and what you learned from her as well.
It is.
Yeah, and you paid a wonderful tribute to your family and to your late husband as well. Was brilliant what you said. 100 years of a glorious life, but you've underlined it all with a great sense of humour.
Yeah.
And I've enjoyed myself a lot. You're the kind of person now that when someone goes away after talking to them, they go away all the better for it. And that's what I can say. When I came in here now and I'm leaving, I'm a very happy man after talking to you. It was an absolute pleasure.
Yeah. I'm delighted.
Yeah.
Now.
So you're happy?
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you.
Right.
Belated.
Belated.
And I hope to see you for the 101st, and you might show me the fine medal you'll be getting.
Oh, I will.
Yeah.
I hope you put money with it.
On that note, thanks a million. Yeah, that's Lily Kelleher there. And once again, I want to thank Lily for inviting me to her home and to her daughters and her granddaughter and grandchildren. And of course, her granddaughter, Niamh, who set the whole interview up for me. It was an absolute pleasure visiting Lily. And I had great crack talking to her. But I want to thank her for her honesty as well. And I want to commend her on her brave spirit as well that she's shown throughout her life, and she's left her mark, there's no doubt. And like I said, when they made Lily, they broke the mold as well. So Lily, thanks a million, happy birthday once again, and like I said, I look forward to calling to you and chatting to you again. But well done on a fantastic interview. You should be very proud of that. We can see where Niamh gets it. Now, after the break, we're going to be hearing a new documentary called The You and I in Ishka.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars located across Kerry. Enjoy a simple, healthy and easy dinner solution with Quinlan's fresh, ready-made seafood meals. Available in store.
On Radio Kerry.
Now, The You and I in Ishka is a story about Kerry and its affinity for water, how it shapes the county physically as well as socially. It looks at how we use the water in its various forms, as well as how it is treated and safeguarded for the benefit of the county. It also contains information and lessons on how to respect water and how to ensure everyone can benefit from the lifeblood of our county. Here is The You and I in Ishka, produced by Ben McGailey.
Ishka, water. We can't get enough of it, and in Kerry, we are lucky to have it in abundance. But, plentiful as it may seem, we tend to take it for granted, and in the modern world, it is increasingly under threat. In this documentary, we'll talk a little bit about the you and I in Ishka, and how we can all be a little bit more conscious of the water all around us. I'm out in Phoenix, a beautiful coastal town made famous for its pier, lighthouse, and statue of St. Brendan the Navigator. But it's also home to Wild Water Adventures, passionately run by John and Michaela Edwards. I spoke with John about just how important Kerry's clean waters are to him, his experiences with pollution, and how we can all appreciate our beautiful coastline.
I started with open water swim coaching in around 2013. And then we expanded. I'd spent some time back in school and college just to get the qualifications. And we expanded out into coastering and kayaking tours and swimming events. And 2015, really whitewater adventures kicked off. You know, I used to disappear before sunrise in the mornings throughout the winter to go and climb down cliffs and go surfing. And I used to swim across bays and look at things and go seek adventure. It was just a natural fit for me. So we decided that we would venture into the adventure business. I've had a lifetime of exploring surf locations, kayaking locations, scuba diving locations, and adventure to most parts of it. And it's just that ruggedness, that wildness that's available on our doorstep. And it is on our doorstep. It's a word that doesn't get used a lot, but we have a wilderness. I mean, once you step into the ocean, there's a wilderness there. You just need to put on a pair of goggles and enjoy it. And it's for everybody. I know that, you know, you look at people that have lots of experience in the outdoors and stuff like that. But I mean, just getting in to our mountain lakes and getting into the sea and just having a swim or a dip. I always argue the case that Ireland should aim to be the New Zealand of the Northern Hemisphere. People see us as being a very green island, which we are, but our coastline should remain blue. So we need to be very careful. We need to make sure that we have high quality for the water that we use every day. I certainly don't want to be taking guests and people that come with us into anything that I don't see to be of a proper quality. I suppose if you looked at the last couple of summers, we've had a lot more rainfall. What tends to happen is there tends to be a lot of land runoff when we have this rainfall. The EPA have a website and they put up things like prior warnings if they see a lot of rainfall in certain areas, and they'll put a prior warning up for beaches. I have seen discoloration in the water during the summertime in some locations that I might visit, a brownish discoloration in the water, but then it's the runoff from the land because of the amount of rain that we're having. We have a stunning coastline. I mean, you just need to pull out a map, put your finger on it, and say, do you know what, we'll go and have a look what's here today. It's wonderful, and visiting your own locations and locations that are on your doorstep, you know, helps the economy of that location as well, because do stop in the local village and get a coffee or drop into the local cafe and get some cake. I think we're very lucky here in North Kerry. I mean, we have the kilometres after kilometres after kilometres of beach walks that we have here. Go and discover at low tide what's in the rock pools. We have cliff coastline in Kerry Head. There are places on the west tip of Kerry Head that you can go park your car and you can walk along the cliff coast, and there's archaeology. There's just wonderful things to be seen. The biodiversity we have dolphins in our waters, we have seals on our rocks. We don't have to travel far to go and explore and to see things that we may not have seen before.
On the bus down to Carseveen and watching the misty rain clouds roll down the scenic hillsides, I wondered what else is in our waterways. I'm on my way to meet Lucy Hunt, a marine biologist and founder of Sea Synergy, to talk about some of the pollutants in our waters and just what effects they can have.
Sea Synergy is a marine awareness research and activity centre set up in 2014 to help engage people with the ocean and let people know how amazing the ocean is and what it does for us, and then also how we can protect it and look after it. Good water quality for marine life is really important. Many species can't survive if they're in bad water quality. Some species are able to help us clean the water, which is amazing as well, that they're actually helping us. But when the water is polluted, whether it's microplastics and fish are eating it or shellfish are eating it, that is then coming up the food chain to us. Or if it's pollution from a harmful algal bloom, it's something called eutrophication, when there's too many nitrates or runoff from the land, as well as the temperature changes and things like that. And then, of course, not having good wastewater treatment plants. And that's something I actually studied for my master's thesis, was the wastewater entering certain bays and the effect it had on the water quality. That it can definitely affect wildlife that's in that immediate area, but of course it can affect ourselves as well. If we're swimming in an area with bad water quality, we can get gastroenteritis problems, earaches, throat problems, eye infections, things like that. But there's other things like chemical pollutants in the water or medical pollutants. So just from people taking drugs and it going out through our wastewater systems, there are changes happening in the ocean. So the hormone levels in some drugs, they have seen changes on some of the shellfish that are in some of the areas where there's outfalls. It's affecting the different genders or sexes of species. The estrogen goes through the water system and ends up in the ocean. And that's when we see like Nucella, which is a small sea snail that obviously has its place in the ocean. They're being affected. And in certain areas, more of them are becoming female than male. So it upsets the natural balance. We all can play our part when it comes to keeping the ocean clean and our coastal waters clean. And it's about thinking from our home, stopping it at the source, whether it's having your drinking bottle, using your reusable shopping bag, whatever it might be, to try and stop using more and more plastic. Approximately only 9% of recycling ends up being recycled on a global scale. So try and reduce it. Rethink, is there another material? Thinking about your wastewater treatment. That's really important, especially in rural areas, checking your wastewater treatment system and making sure it's up to standard and not leaking into waterways. Then sharing what you know with other people as well is really important. Someone once said to me, Lucy, I used to always just flick my cigarette butts away, but I saw a post on your social media that told me how long cigarette butts last, that they're pretty much in the environment forever and that they're plastic and that they end up in the sea and fish eat them, and they stopped flicking their cigarette butts. You still do see many people flick their cigarette butts into the drain systems outside the pub, but that is ending up in the ocean and that is ending up in the fish. So just thinking those sorts of connections, actually what you're doing on land is super connected to the ocean. No one can do absolutely everything, but try what you can. And when you're on the beach, pick up tree for the sea, even if you just pick up those tree things that you see, and always obviously clean up after yourself when you're at the beach too, the simple things.
But it's not just our oceans we need to be mindful of. Once I was home and dry, I called Blanid O'Loughlin, community officer for the local authority waters program. I asked about the current state of the county's water quality, how they are affected, and what the public can do to help look after their local waterways.
The Local Authorities Water Programme, known as LAWPRO, was established in 2016 as a response to the EU Water Framework Directive. We were established as a community engagement organisation to bring community focus onto local water quality and to foster a stewardship or a greater interest from local communities in water quality. So LAWPRO now plays an important role in coordinating all stakeholders involved in the area of water quality, including the agricultural industry, water treatment, water supply, fisheries, aquaculture, forestry agencies, many different stakeholders working together. The trend for certainly the past 20 years or more has been going in the wrong direction. We've seen declines in the numbers of water qualities achieving good and high status. It's not all bad news in Kerry itself. 80% of surface waters are achieving good or high status. So this includes rivers, lakes, estuarine and coastal water bodies. And we are seeing a gradual recovery in high status waters, which is very encouraging. But rivers in particular would be under pressure. The Blue Dot programme would be a flagship LAWPRO programme based around identifying water bodies that have the potential to attain and retain the highest status. So that's the highest water quality status, highest biological status, as in they support and provide habitat for many threatened and very sensitive and also very specific species. And they also retain or have the ability to attain a high level of naturalness in their form and function. Because of their sensitivity, they're just very sensitive to even quite small changes in inputs or in the surrounding environmental quality. So there has to be very great care taken in the management of these and in the understanding of how land change impacts can have a very severe impact on these kind of sensitive areas. The blue dot water bodies are found mainly in areas with less human impact. The main impacts for the kind of pristine mountain streams and these types of blue dot areas, it's really siltation, land use change and changes to the shape of the river, maybe straightening the river or changing its course. Obviously, also agricultural runoff can be an issue, and certainly things like septic tanks not functioning correctly. We're seeing increased impacts due to climate change in Ireland on water quality. Low flow issues with rivers and streams are having knock-on impacts on fish status. Many of our fish species would be very sensitive to water temperature. They would have evolved to survive in cold waters. But climate change impacts are going to have increasing impacts on our water supply levels, both for human use and for species that rely on water to survive. It really just highlights some of the things that people can do to mitigate these sort of problems. Taking cognizance of our water use is certainly something that we should be better at in Ireland. Not wasting water, not overusing water, leakage problems and water wastage from that point of view. Communities can get involved in celebrating and raising awareness of their local water quality from something as simple as undertaking a litter pick on your local beach or your riverbanks, to maybe more complex catchment-wide projects, such as encouraging farmers to fence a riparian margin or assessing some of the drains to see if silt traps can be applied on agricultural or forestry drains. We in LawPro are willing and able to support community groups and other voluntary organisations, including schools, sports clubs, tidy towns, to undertake water quality actions at various levels. And we're really happy to hear from anyone who would like to discuss any sort of project, including awareness, education projects, river walks, biodiversity projects, and anything that brings people closer to their natural waters.
So remember, only use as much water and energy as you need. Have your wastewater systems checked regularly and never flush medication down the toilet, as you can always return it to the local pharmacy. And don't forget to take the time to appreciate your local rivers and coastline, because we are all lucky to have them. If you can, pick up any plastic or litter you find and see what you can do in your community to get involved. If you would like to explore our coasts and learn more, you can go to wildwateradventures.ie and seasynergy.org to truly appreciate our blue backyard. And if you would like to get involved with events and awareness for your local waterways, go to lawaters.ie for more. Lastly, a big thank you to John Edwards, Lucy Hunt and Blondid O'Loughlin for their time and contributions. And now I think it's time for a nice quick shower and a cup of tea.
Yeah, that was Ben McGailey there producing that documentary. Another student of mine, a broadcast student of mine. Well done, Ben. Now we're going to take a break, and after that, we're going to be going live to the past.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars, located across Kerry. Take the fear out of fish and chat to our fishmongers about how to add delicious, easy-to-cook seafood into your menu. Oven and air fryer-ready meals available.
Listening to The Saturday Supplement with Joe McGill on Radio Kerry.
Now it's time to go live to the past, to June 1883, where two ships, the Farnesia and the Belgravia, have come into Valentia Harbour to take a human cargo of 1,200 people from the Iveragh Peninsula to America.
Joe McGill reports live from the past.
Standing at Knightstown on Valentia Island, where during the last few weeks, two ships, the Farnesia and the Belgravia, came into Valentia Harbour and took a human cargo of 1,200 people from the Iveragh Peninsula to America. As a result, the two older villages of the island, Clannacarton and Knockoncorribeg, located in Corramore and Corribeg, have been decimated,
Clinacarton had 50 houses in 1800, 21 houses in 1853, and now only a few will remain. Cuchun Cora Beg had about 60 houses at its height, and that number has now decreased drastically. Immigration has always been a plight on the landscape of Lynch Island, from those who left the mainland to those who have been forced to flee further afield, and now with the introduction of free immigration. This is the process whereby, in order to qualify for a family's free passage to America, you are forced to give up your holding, and the entire family has to go. It is believed that these ships were brought here at the request of the Carsveen Guardians. I spoke to a member of the group earlier to find out the background as to why these ships came to Iveragh.
In 1845, at the start of the Great Famine, over 70,000 fled the country, with more than 50,000 going to the United States. This year, termed the Year of Free Immigration, it is forecast that a total of more than 100,000 people will leave the country, almost 83,000 of them destined for the US. Much of this exodus is being orchestrated by inhuman and callous landlords who are prepared to pay to rid their estates of destitute and unwanted tenants.
And how is this immigration being funded, and what are the government doing about it?
Well, it was not until last year that there came any worthwhile government aid for immigration. This resulted from the crusading work of one James Hack Tuke, an honourable Quaker from the city of York. He's active in charitable work in the west of Ireland. He was appalled by what he described as the culmination of man's degradation. The government was unwilling to undertake the huge expense involved, but Tuke persisted until grants were available to intending immigrants at the rate of, I think it was 5% per adult. Since the various shipping lines were offering steering passage to America for as little as £4 per adult, Tuke's scheme has been known as free immigration.
So how was it that these two ships came to this area in the last 2 months?
We had dispatched a number of immigrants via Queenstown in April of this year, and availing of free immigration, we entered into direct negotiations with the Anchor Line Shipping Company for direct transport from Valentia Harbour. The Belgravia was the first ship to sail past the lighthouse into Valentia Harbour, and it's the largest ship to ever enter the harbour up until now.
A member of the Carsveen Guardian speaking to me earlier there. Now I'm joined by Carsveen Parish Priest Reverend Canon Brosnan, who was on board Belgravia 2 weeks ago. Canon Brosnan, you were on board Belgravia. What was the atmosphere like, and what are the feelings of the locality now?
Yes, I went on board and gathered the immigrants from my own parish to give them our Lord's blessing and to say farewell to them. It was difficult, to be honest with you. These are people, some of whom I baptised, married, and would have buried their parents. It is sad to think that they have left, and we all know really that the likelihood is that they're never going to set eyes on these shores again. In this area, there is a bleak feeling of emptiness, and I can't see the area recovering from this. We can only pray for those who left and hope they make a better life for themselves.
When did the first ship, the Belgravia, leave then?
The Belgravia left Valentia Harbour at 4 p.m. on Saturday, June the 2nd. The final parting was pathetic, touching and grief-stricken. 763 people embarked, of whom 471 were adults, 273 children and 19 infants. With about a dozen deciding at the last moment to remain behind.
Thanks for talking to me, Canon Brosnan. There were 253 pupils in the Ballyharney National School before the second ship sailed. Now there are only 46. Earlier, I spoke to the headmaster at Ballyharney School.
Just 2 weeks after the Belgravia left, the Farnesia, a larger ship of the same line, entered Valentia Harbour and transported a further batch of 436 state-aided immigrants to America, making a grand total of 1,199 in one fortnight.
And what was the scene like when you were saying goodbye to the people leaving?
Well, I would estimate that a crowd of more than 5,000 relatives and friends assembled on the shores of Valentia and Reynard to bid farewell to their dear ones about to leave for America. The mood was sombre, to say the least. I would describe it as a mass wake.
And have you had any contact with those who have left since?
10 days after the Belgravia's departure from Valentia, a telegram came into the cable station on the island announcing the safe arrival of the emigrants in New York. But I'm hearing from my own relatives who are over in New York that the Farnesia's passengers have been met with a frigid welcome in the United States. Fanned by local newspapers, opposition is growing to what's been described as Britain's exportation of Irish paupers. My sister Kathleen said that the New York Daily News carried the following blanket condemnation. Hundreds of assisted immigrants arrived here on the Fornesia last evening. They contrasted unfavourably with the previous comers. Five heads of families came directly from the Carasivine workhouse. All of them were poorly clad, have no money and no friends. Their arrival excites much indignation. Some were even sent home.
The headmaster of Ballyharney National School speaking to me there earlier. Of the 100,000 or more who will leave Ireland for lands unknown in this year of free immigration, only a few will ever see their homeland again. All over America, Canada and to a lesser extent Australia, they will find their last resting place in the cold soil of the stranger. Not for many of them the warm welcome of friends and family on these foreign and unknown shores, but often having to endure vilification and loathing on their arrival. Today, let us remember those Valencia and Ivara people who set out from Valencia Harbour for America over the past few weeks in the Belgravia and Fornesia in what were days of woe and sadness here in the year 1883. This is Joe McGill reporting live from the past, June 1883.
Yeah, that's a live from the past there, and we're going to hear another live from the past. We're going to be going to the evacuation of the Great Blasket after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars located across Kerry. Supplement your diet with a healthy and fresh dinner option. Fresh seafood from Quinlan's.
With TUI, there's more choice than you think. Beach days or a city break. Weekend in Rome, booked. Fly from your local airport, of course. Just a hotel? Got them too. Number of nights? Take your pick. Tailor your trip with more options and more choice. TUI. Live happy.
Vincent's Shops in Kerry are very grateful for your support. And as a gesture of thanks, they will have a fun day this Wednesday at Friary Lane Tralee with lots of spot prizes, exceptional value and the odd surprise. That's this Wednesday at Vincent's, Friary Lane Tralee.
This year, every organisation with over 50 employees must highlight the difference in pay between men and women, the gender pay gap. Because if we highlight it, we can all work to close it. So whether you work in boardrooms, showrooms, front rooms, stock rooms, or not in rooms at all, if you have 50 or more staff, you must report it by November 30th. Let's all highlight the difference to make a difference. Visit gov.ie/gender pay gap to learn more.
In this weekend's Irish Examiner, Eunice Power turns heartbreak into healing, launching her first cookbook after the devastating loss of her son. Meet Michelle Marr, the force behind See Her Elected, inspiring women nationwide to enter politics. While in sport, Donal Lenihan previews Ireland versus Joe Schmitz Australia. Plus, in property, visit a Glengariff home with stunning views. Buy the Irish Examiner in-store or subscribe at irishexaminer.com for free home delivery.
For great Christmas party nights and memorable festive dining, there's an experience for everyone with the O'Donoghue Ring Collection. Create meaningful celebrations across a range of hotels, bars and restaurants, including Killarney Plaza Hotel, The Tan Yard, Café du Parc, O'Donoghue Public House, Pig's Lane and many more in Killarney. Visit odrcollection.com.
Radio Kerry is looking for a music presenter. The successful candidate will have good on-air skills, music knowledge, the gift of the gab and lots of ideas. You'll present a daily radio show that is local, fun and entertaining. Create and deliver engaging and entertaining content, including music features and social media. Have excellent verbal communication skills with the ability to engage and entertain a diverse audience. Work with our sales team and participate in outside broadcasts. And have a strong knowledge of Kerry and a passion for radio. If you would like to join Radio Kerry, please email a short audio demo, CV and cover letter to vacancies@radiokerry.ie. The closing date for receipt of applications is midday on Monday, November 17th.
You're listening to the Saturday Supplement with Joe McGill on Radio Kerry.
Now, I mentioned I had my staycation recently around the Slayhead Drive and back in Dunheen and at the Blasket Centre. And it reminded me of an episode we did on the evacuation of the Great Blasket in 1953, November 17th. So we're going to go live from the past to there now.
Joe McGill reports live from the past.
As you know, the Blasket Islands are a group of six Atlantic islands off the coast of Kerry. The islands were inhabited for centuries by a small but close-knit Irish-speaking population who followed a traditional way of life involving farming, fishing and weaving. Today I'm here on the Great Blasket, where the much-talked-about evacuation ordered by Antishuk Éamon de Valera is taking place. This turn of events has been largely accepted as a necessity. The Blasket Islanders, which by now a population of only 22, are cut off from communication or any emergency assistance from the mainland and facing increasingly extreme weather patterns. I'm joined now by an officer from the Irish Land Commission who is present for the evacuation, and his name is Dan O'Brien. Can you tell me what's going on here today?
Well, Joe, the islanders are all ready to depart. All household furniture is packed. They realise now there's no future for them on the Blasket. And I can confirm they've signed all the necessary forms just to let you know, Joe, that they can return to the island in good weather to look after their sheep.
So you're evacuating the entire 22 today and their belongings?
Yes, we have arranged for this community of 22 people and their furniture to be transferred over the Sound to four newly built cottages at Dunquin, with 3 acres of arable land attached. Now, the remaining residents from the families by the names of Dunleavy and O'Sullivan, Geheen and Keane are to be moved to new homes, which are cottages at Dunquin.
The sea is quite rough and it brings into sharp focus the conditions islanders have had to contend with. Are you worried about crossing today?
Well, as you can see, the islanders are waiting on the shore with their furniture and belongings, but the waves are so dangerous now, I feel that they'll have to leave everything except for small essentials.
Well, I better let you get on with it, Dan, and thanks for talking to me.
You're welcome, Joe. Hey, you there, grab that rope. Come on now, look lively.
Over the years, the inhabitants have become the subjects of important linguistic studies for their use of a largely unchanged version of the Irish language. At its peak, Great Blasket Island had only some 175 residents, but their cultural output was immense, including important Irish language works such as The Islander by Thomas O'Crohan, 20 Years of Growing by Maurice O'Sullivan, and Peg by Peg Sayers. Just a moment, I can see one of the islanders coming past me here, so I'll see, can I get a few words with him? Excuse me, sorry, can I get a quick word?
Yes, you can. But I'm sorry about my English. I'd be more used to speaking Osgelga.
That's no problem at all. Thank you for speaking with me. This evacuation is a long time coming.
Ah, tis God knows. The situation really came to a head in April 1947, when the island was battered by such a terrible storm that we sent a telegram to Taoiseach Éamon de Valera, pleading for help. The message read, "Storm bound, distress, sin food, nothing to eat." A few months later, de Valera visited and spoke with us. And within a few years, we were where we are now, where the island is being completely evacuated.
Look, island life was obviously tough, but will you miss it?
I suppose I will, and I won't. Life has been hard here, man. You know, for Sunday Mass, we rode 3 miles across open sea to the village of Dunheen on the mainland. But saying that, it's the most beautiful place on earth, and the best thing about it is the people. We have no court, no doctor, no nurse, and no priest. We don't need them either, because we have the best community you could imagine.
Thank you for talking to me, and we wish you the best of luck in the future. Now, these evacuations have been taking place over the last few weeks and months, and earlier I spoke to a young boy who made global headlines as the only child on the Blaskets. Garrod O'Cahan was evacuated with his family on September 5th of this year, and I spoke with him at his new home in Dunquin. Now, Garrod, in 1948, newspapers dubbed you the loneliest boy in the world, as you were the sole child living on the Blaskets. But it made you famous, didn't it? Tell us what happened.
Well, I got loads of presents, like toys, clothes and books too. Some people even wanted to help me. There was an American cowboy who wanted to adopt me, and another family in America wanted to give my parents jobs and to bring me up.
Well, I'm glad to say your parents didn't take those offers, but tell them the future. Now, these evacuations have been taking place over the last few weeks and months, and earlier I spoke to a young boy who made global headlines as the only child on the Blaskets. Garrod O'Cahan was evacuated with his family on September 5th of this year, and I spoke with him at his new home in Dunquin. Now, Gerard, in 1948, newspapers dubbed you the loneliest boy in the world, as you were the sole child living on the Blaskets. But it made you famous, didn't it? Tell us what happened.
Well, I got loads of presents, like toys, clothes and books too. Some people even wanted to help me. There was an American cowboy who wanted to adopt me. And another family in America wanted to give my parents jobs and to bring me up.
Well, I'm glad to say your parents didn't take those offers. But tell me, were you lonely on the island?
No, I loved living on the island. I miss it every day. I was always helping the adults, like catching rabbits, fishing and collecting turf from the bog. Oh, and sailing too. So I was never lonely.
And how are you taking to life on the mainland?
It was strange because I didn't know anyone and I always spent time with adults, not children. But I like it now. I have lots of friends my age and I'm playing football and music, so I love it.
Well, back here on the Great Blasket, the boats are leaving with the last of the islanders. All that is left behind now are the sheep and remaining wildlife. The houses that were once filled with merriment and music now fall silent against the backdrop of the thundering Atlantic Ocean. It remains to be seen, will people come back here again? Only time will tell. This is Joe McGill reporting live from the past on the Great Blasket, November 17th, 1953. Yeah, another episode of Live from the Past. That's all we have time for on the program this morning. My thanks to Abigail Bernard, who was on sound. Francis is on the way, so keep it here on Radio Kerry. And I'll be back again next Saturday with the Saturday Supplement from 9 a.m. Until then, look after yourself and take care.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars, located across Kerry. Because at least one day of the weekend should involve someone else doing all the cooking. Order your delicious takeaway from Quinlan's today.